We're going to jump into our new series we're doing over the summer. It's out of the book of Jonah. And again, I'm going to give you just a tiny bit of an introduction today. And then over the months, I'm going to teach not quite half the time. We have 8 different people that are going to teach. And some of them you've heard before. Some of them you haven't heard before. And so we're going to tackle the book. It's an interesting book in that it's only 4 chapters. So it's like, how can you make a 4-chapter book go through the whole summer? We can do it. We can do it. So, and the story's going to get told over and over again. It's not just a one-time story. It's going to, you know, you're going to hear the story multiple times, or at least different pieces of the story multiple times. But each person's going to bring out something different that maybe someone else didn't. And because it's such a rich book. There's so much about the character of God in the book. There's so much about the character of people in the book. There's so much about what God's trying to do in the world. I mean, it's a very, very rich book. And you're going to learn some things about yourself. You're going to, you know, it's most known for what? Jonah and the whale. Okay, that's what, I mean, everybody kind of knows the thing of Jonah and the whale. And then people say, well, how could a guy live 3 years inside, or 3 days inside of a whale? And, you know, they all, you know, kind of argue about all that stuff. And I mean, the bottom line is, if you believe that God does miracles and you believe God raises the dead, then can't God keep someone alive for 3 days in the middle of a fish? You know, I mean, so anyway. the book has only, as I said, only 4 chapters. You know, its historical view is that it was written by Jonah. Just a little bit of overview, written by Jonah. And that of all the, you know, the prophetic books there are in the Old Testament, it's the only book that's addressed to a pagan nation. It never mentions Israel. It never mentions Judah. There's no mention about, you know, God's work in the Promised Land. It's all about what God wants to do with Jonah, but also with what God wants to do with the Assyrians. And really, the book is more about a message about the prophet's life than it is about the prophet. Matter of fact, the message that God gives to the prophet, you know, like Isaiah has 66 chapters in it, and it's filled with all this prophetic stuff to all these other, these nations. Well, in Jonah's case, Jonah's message that he's supposed to give to the people of Assyria is 5 words. That's it. Go ahead and show that first slide. Here's what he said. He said, this is what he was supposed to go through the city of Nineveh, and 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. That's his message. So it takes him 3 days. He wanders through the city just constantly proclaiming. And again, we'll talk about, you know, not necessarily me, but others will talk about what that's, you know, all about. And, you know, so here's how the book starts. And then we'll pray. It says, the Lord gave this message. This is the verse 1 of chapter 1. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. And I'm not going to go into any of that background today. Others will get it, and I'll get some of it. But in history, the Assyrian people are some of the most wretched, violent, vile people that have ever existed on the planet. You think of Hitler, you think of Pol Pot, you think of Idi Amin, you think of Mao. You just could go down the list of all like the really bad guys and women. And these guys are top it all off. I mean, just terrible, terrible nation. And so God sends him to them. So since we're going to spend the summer studying the book of prophets, or the life of a prophet, the journey, the message, and so on, I thought that I would talk today for a few minutes in the introduction about Old Testament prophets and modern day prophets. Okay, so that's what I'm going to talk about today. So we'll jump deeper into the book of Jonah next week. John Shane's going to share next week. But that's what I want to do. I want to talk for a few minutes today, and I'm gonna spend more time than normal looking at my notes because I wrote some things, and I want to share them specifically, or as specifically as I can, how I wrote them. And I think this is just a very, very important subject, a very important topic for the church. And so let me pray. Father, give us ears to hear what it is you're wanting to say today. Lord, help us to set aside, you know, maybe preconceived ideas. Help us to set aside things that we that we have held on to or that we've rejected, either way, and that we would hear what you're wanting to say to us today. And again, give us incredible discernment of what it is you're wanting. And help us here. And then, Lord, I pray you'd help me. And so thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you were to go on Google or, you know, YouTube or Facebook or X or Instagram or any social media platform today, you can find hundreds of self-proclaimed prophets across the America, just America, just America. They call themselves prophets. They, you know, prophesy. They tell about the future. They tell about what God's doing, all kinds of things. And many of them, there's hundreds in literally, and I'm not, hundreds is not an exaggeration. Hundreds is maybe an understatement. I mean, it like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you could spend doing all the social media things and you could find someone who's speaking for God and who are claiming they speak for God. They do it every day. And if it's not every day, they do it every week, throughout the week. And I mean, that's just the world we live in today. And the social media of, you know, iPad or iPhone or, you know, your Android or whatever it happens to be. I mean, the amount of material or the amount of presentations that are out there are unbelievable. They just are really unbelievable. And so what's interesting, so that's where we're at today. It's interesting, in the entire 3,000 to 4,000 year history that's recorded in the scriptures, there were less than 100 prophets that were, you know, that specific people who were prophets. Less than 100. And here in our world today, there are literally hundreds of them, self-proclaimed prophets, in our world that we live in today. And that's just an interesting idea. And that, if you go, well, there's less than 100 in the scriptures, that does not count the prophets that God, that put words in God's mouth, and God rebuked them very, very strongly. You can find this in Jeremiah, you can find it in Ezekiel, you can find it in, I mean, all kinds of other prophetic books where God rebukes prophets for putting their words in God's mouth. They say, "The Lord said," and God said, "I did not say." You know, it's kind of like if you had more, we had 5 kids, you know, they're all grown now. They probably still do it, but, you know, they'd say, one of them would say, "Mom said," and then you ask Mom, and Mom goes, "Mom did not say," or "Dad said," "Nah, Dad didn't say." Well, that's what was happening. I mean, there's all these people, and there were lots of them in the Old Testament, who were speaking for God, and God says, "I did not," and God judged them very harshly for putting their words in his mouth. Does that make sense? So he judged them very strongly about that, and he judged these prophets for putting their words in his mouth, but he also judged his people very strongly for not obeying the words of the true prophets. I mean, you hear him over and over. He just, you know, Isaiah, you know, if you read the book of Isaiah, man, Isaiah 58 is Isaiah speaking for God about judgment that was upon Israel because they failed to care for the poor and the needy, and they failed to offer right sacrifices to God. And I mean, it's just a very strong word. And so, you know, that's what was taking place. But Jonah, so now over the summer we're going to look at Jonah. But Jonah and the modern self-proclaimed prophets, I want you to understand, they're not necessarily the same thing, or I would say not the same thing. Okay? Just walk with me here through this. Today, everyone who claims to be a prophet and their prophecies and the words they speak. Do you guys all know what I'm talking about? If you've ever seen it on Facebook or you've seen it on YouTube or X or, you know, I mean, it's just like, you could just open, I mean, again, we could just do it right now. I mean, we could spend the rest of the day. I could keep you here for weeks, although we don't have enough food to keep you here for weeks. Just looking at all the things that are out there that, you know, these prophets of men and women have said. And, but today, every prophet, every prophecy, every word that's, you know, that's supposedly a word from God, The prophet is supposed to be judged, and the word is supposed to be judged. Here's what 1 John says. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God, for there are many false prophets in the world. This was 2,000 years ago. He says there's lots of them out there proclaiming to speak for God, but you need to test each one of them, and you need to test them, and you need to test what they're saying. That's what you got to do. You know, recently I was watching this clip of a well-known Christian leader, a prophet, author, and so on. And here's kind of how his presentation, this is my paraphrase, but this is how his presentation went. He said, you know, I was waiting on the Lord, and the Lord said to me, I want you to write this book. And if you don't write this book, I'm going to find someone who will write this book. Because this is a word for the church, and the church needs to hear it. And I want you to be the one who writes the book so the church can hear this book. And, you know, the message that he has for him. And then he's like, I don't know if I want to write this book. He's arguing with God. And, you know, which people all argue with God. You've argued with God. I've argued with God. It's just what people do. God says, you know, give. No, I don't want to give. You know, pray. No, I don't want to pray. I mean, so him arguing with God is not a new thing, right? I mean, so not to embarrass anyone, but how many of you have never argued with God? Raise your hand. Okay, I didn't think so. I didn't think so. I mean, it's human nature, okay? So, you know, this pastor, this prophet, this author, this Christian leader, you know, he's arguing with God. I don't. And God says, if you don't write this book, then I'm going to find someone who will, because this is a message that the church has to have, okay? And he said, okay, well, I'll write the book. I'll write the book then. And then he says, and God downloaded the book to me. He downloaded the book to me, and so I wrote the book, and here's the book. This isn't the book, but here's the book. Now, I don't know about you, but those are very troubling words to me. Okay, walk with me on this. Those are very troubling words. The man hears from God. God says, I want you to write this book. If you don't write this book, then I'm going to find someone who will write it, and he said, when I finally agreed, then God downloaded it to me, okay? So here's where it goes. Here's where it goes. God said, I want you to write this book. I said, I don't want to write it. He said, you write it, or I'm going to find someone who will write it. And he said, okay, I'll write it. And then God downloaded it to him, and so he wrote the book, and then he says, and you know what? This book is on sale out in the foyer after church. Or you can buy it anywhere where books are sold. Now, wait a second. Does that sound right to you? But that's, folks, that's the world we're living in. Here's how I wrote it. If the church doesn't get this book, then the church is being disobedient. If the church doesn't read this book, then the church is being disobedient. If the church doesn't do what this book tells them to do, the church is being disobedient. And again, by the way, you can buy it afterwards out in the foyer. Really? I mean, in my mind, this sounds a lot like what God did when he said to Peter, Peter, I want you to write the life of Jesus. Now, when he said to Peter, write the life of Jesus, it was not something that was for sale, although we all buy the Bible, but Peter never sold it. I'll sell the story of Jesus to you. They just wanted everyone to hear the story of Jesus. That's what they wanted to do. And if the church is disobedient, again, so if the church doesn't get and buy and read and obey the book, we are in serious trouble. Because that's the message. That's the message God wants for the church. Now, I don't doubt that God maybe wanted this guy to write this book. I don't doubt that. Maybe God wanted him to write the book. And I'm not opposed to book. I spend way too much money on books. He's all, yeah, yeah, Stephanie over there's our treasurer, and she's like, yeah. She's shaking her head, like almost her whole body is shaking. Yeah. He spends way too much. I've listened to 70 books so far since January. I got 10, I can't even tell you how many of the books I've read, and I got about 10 of them going right now at the same time. I mean, I'm not opposed to books. I'm not opposed to books about people telling me about God, telling me about what God's doing and what God wants to do. But to say that I'm speaking for God and you need to buy this book, because if you don't buy this book, that's, in my mind, going the wrong direction. There's something that we have to be very cautious about in regards to that. I got to catch up to my notes. You know, if we were to, you know, all these people who are speaking for God, prophets who are speaking for God, we would have to spend almost every day, all day long, on our phone or our iPad or whatever it happens to be, going from one place to another, to another, to another. Like, what's this prophet saying? What's that prophet saying? What's she saying? What's he saying? What are they saying? You know, like, just on. I mean, we could spend all day. And the confusion that would come over what God's trying to say would be immense. And then if we don't do, we wouldn't even have the time to do everything the prophets are telling us to do, because we would be spending so much time listening to what the prophets are telling us we're supposed to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, let me just, again, be very clear. I believe God speaks today. I believe that with all of my heart that God speaks today. I depend upon God speaking to me. But if you've been around this church for any length of time, you've never heard me say, God told me blah, blah, blah. Because when you play the God card, nobody can argue with you. There's no argument. God told me. Okay, well, you can't argue with that. God told you. So I firmly believe this, that God speaks today and that God does tell people about the future and God does tell people about what's going on and words of wisdom and words of knowledge and prophecy, whatever you want to call it. I believe it's all true and that it does happen. But the caution that is needed in regards to what's taking place is huge. You know, in the mid-1980s, there was a man named Jimmy Swaggart. Those of you that are old enough, you know the name. Some of you that are younger, you don't even know who this person is. But he was, next to Billy Graham, he was the most famous Christian leader in America. Every week, 2.1 million American households watched something that was broadcast from his various TVs on. 250 TV stations syndicated his program. Around the world, every week, 21 million people watched him. That's a lot of people. I mean, he was famous. Barb and I have this friend who was Jimmy Swaggart's personal secretary. And she was in a meeting one time, and there was a group of spiritual leaders around, national spiritual leaders. One of them was a man by the name of David Wilkerson. Some of you have heard that name, David Wilkerson. He started Teen Challenge and started the church in Times Square. He's passed away. Now he's with the Lord. But they're sitting, so LaFay says this, we're sitting in this meeting, and everybody's talking, and then they're praying and talking and praying, and then David Wilkerson, he gets everybody's attention, and he looks at Jimmy Swaggart, like I'm looking right at you, Bill. He looks at Jimmy Swaggart, and he says, Jimmy, I don't know what's going on, but if you don't stop it right now, this whole empire is coming down. That was it. That was the message. Well, within a matter of a few short weeks, those of you that are old enough know, you know, the Bakers and, you know, Marvin Gorman and the whole empire collapsed. It was on all of national TV. It was all, you know, just a shame on that was going on in our world in regards to the church. But David Wilkerson, God whispered to him, you better get this taken care of or else it's going to come down. I believe God speaks today. I believe that. But the caution that we have to use in the church world has got to be huge. Here's the directives I have as a pastor, straight from the Holy Spirit, okay? So here's from the book of Acts. He says, so guard yourselves. He's talking to church leaders. He's talking to pastors. He's talking to me. So guard yourselves and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church, purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as leaders. I know that false teachers like vicious wolves will come in among you, and after I leave, not sparing the flock. Even some men from your own group will rise up and distort the truth in order to draw a following. You know, in crime scenes or crime, you know, movies and books and, you know, TV shows and so on, what's one of the lines they always say? If you want to figure out who did the crime, what do they say? There we go. Todd, thank you. Follow the money. Follow the money. And you know what? It's sad, but you follow the money in the Christian world. You follow the money, and oftentimes it's connected to what I'm trying to talk about right now. Or he tells Timothy this. He says, keep a close watch on how you live and your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. He says to me, he says, guard your life and guard what you teach and what you understand as the truth, because you, Matt, your salvation, your eternal destiny depends upon it. And Dennis and Jeannie, your eternal destiny depends upon it, because you're sitting here as part of my church. So I have to guard myself and what I believe and what I teach, because not only does my eternal salvation depend upon it, the eternal salvation of all the people that I'm responsible for. That's what he said to Timothy. These aren't my words. These are not words I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. And you can buy the book afterwards out in the foyer. These are words written by the Holy Spirit to the church in all places, in all times, until Jesus comes back for his bride. Or here's some other ones. He says, and these won't be up on your screen. Jesus says, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but they're really vicious wolves. You can identify them by the way they act. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, let two or three people prophesy and let the others evaluate what is said. 1 Thessalonians, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. 1 Thessalonians again, he says, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Those are all warnings given because people can so easily be deceived. It's so easy to get deceived. And that should scare all of us. The deception, Jesus said in another place, he said, the deception will be so great that he said, will I find faith on the earth when I return? Another place he said that the people of God will be deceived if it were possible. Another place he says to those who do not love the truth will be given a great deception. Just this danger of not sticking to the truth. Here's what he said, and you know what? And in the Old Testament, so we're talking about Jonah in the Old Testament versus modern day prophets. In the Old Testament, it was dangerous to be a prophet. It was very dangerous to be a prophet. Here's what Jesus said. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. Or he said it in another place. He says this, as a result, this generation will be held responsible for the murder of all of God's prophets from the creation of the world, from the murder of Abel to the murder of Zechariah. It was so dangerous to be an Old Testament prophet. I mean, you're stoned, you're put into pits in the ground, and it was just so dangerous to be someone who stood up and said, this is what God's saying to the people of Israel. And you know, the reality is, because of that, there were people who did not want to be prophets in the Old Testament years. Moses said, find someone else. Jeremiah said, why are you picking on me, making me a prophet? Amos said, I'm just a farmer. I'm just a farmer. I mean, they did not want to be prophets. Today, and Jonah was the most reluctant of all, and today, it's not that people want to be prophets today. I mean, they want a business card that calls themselves prophet, and they get, you know, prophet on the book, and not prophet like money prophet, but prophet like preaching prophet. So back then, people were like, I don't want to be. Today, people go, no, I want to be. So we're going to study a prophet that didn't want to be a prophet, that ran from God because he did not want to be God's voice to a group of people, and it was actually a group of people he didn't like. He hated them. And after he gives the message and they turn and repent, then he goes and climbs under a bush and says, God, just kill me. And he says, I knew you would do this. That's why I didn't want to go and be a prophet, because I knew that you were good, and when they repented, you would have mercy on them, and it makes me so ticked off. And then he said, God, just kill me. Just kill me. I mean, that's how it went. So what's the application? What's the application? Listen for what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, and listen for what the Holy Spirit's saying to others. But sift it through the Scriptures. Does it line up with the Scriptures? If it does not line up with the Scriptures, reject it in a moment. And not only does it line up with the Scriptures, but does it line up with the character and the nature of God? And if it doesn't line up with the nature and the character of God, there's something wrong with the word. God would never give a word that doesn't line up with who he is. God doesn't work that way. Well, that means we all need to be students of the word. Right? That's what it means. And we need to be students of the word so that we know the word, and also because the word reveals to us the character and nature of God. You know, it's like somebody could say something to my kids about me and my, a negative thing. You know, like, your dad did this. And all five of my kids would immediately go, whatever it happened to be, the possibility would be, yeah, that's not how my dad does things. Because they know me. Or they'll say, yeah, that sounds like your dad. Because they know me. They know me. You know, one time one of my boys was saying, you know, he put a thing on Facebook or whatever it was, and he said, it was really hard being Jewish and the president of my class. And I sent him a note, and I said, you aren't Jewish, and you were never the president of your class. And I'm trying to figure out, like, what's he talking about? And he texted back, and he said, Dad, it's a reference to a TV show, and you don't know anything about TV. So that's where he knew. I mean, if someone is near you, they know you. That you, not only do we read the Scripture so we can know, does this line up with what God said, but does this line up with God's character? Does this line up with God's nature? You know, one time a guy, this was, I don't know, 20 years ago now, I'll just say, I don't remember how long ago, but I'll say 20 years ago. He came up after the service, and a guy I trust, a wonderful man. He's passed away now. Wonderful man, I trust. And he came up and he said, you know, Matt, I think the Lord's given me a word for you as the pastor of this church. And I said, oh, well, I'm open to whatever, you know, people hear from God, or God might speak to them for me to pay attention to. And he said, you know, God's shown me that something terrible is going to come upon this church, and you need to be prepared for it. And I said, oh, well, I'll pray about it. And then after service was over, and I'm driving home, and I'm thinking, like, what could that be? And not only what could that be, I'm thinking, who could that be? So it's not like, it's just an event going to happen where something terrible is going to happen in our church. But I start wondering, is it you? Is you're the terrible thing? Is it you? Is it you? Who's the one that's going to be the instigator of this terrible thing? I mean, I'm just telling you, that's how my mind starts going down this road. And at some point, Barbara said, you know, what's going on? And I told her, and she said, but Matt, that does not sound like God, that God's going to give you some message that's going to create fear in your life without giving you instruction on how you can do something about it. And when she said that, it's like, this is why I married this woman. She's just so solid. But and she was referencing, it didn't come to me, but she's referenced back to the character of God. That's not like God. Does God tell people about stuff that's going to happen? Yeah. But does God tell them and then just like, tough luck, go figure it out? I mean, that's sometimes what people do in marriage. It's like, if you don't know what's bothering me, I'm not telling you. You know, that kind of a thing. Well, that's not how God goes, I'll tell you. And he tells us. It's the difference between conviction and condemnation. Conviction is, here's something very specific. You should not have said that to your wife. Go apologize. That's conviction. Condemnation is, you're a terrible husband and you'll never amount to anything. That's condemnation. So God does tell us, but he tells us how to do something. And so when she said that to me, I'm like, and I mean, and you know, that's, again, it's 20 years later, and as far as I know, other than the death of a couple of people that rocked my world, I don't know what that bad thing is that's happened. So you gotta listen, have your ears open, but have your ears open like a, you know, like you're sifting flour. Does this line up with the Word of God? Does this line up with the nature of God? And then the third thing, so again, kind of the sifting would be, does this line up with God's Word? Does this line up with the nature of God? And the third thing that I would encourage you to do is find someone and stay close to someone who knows the Scriptures and who knows the nature of God, who you can say, does this seem right? That was my wife. And there's been lots of other times over the years, you know, where you say something to someone, but you need to have those people in your life who can say, yeah, no, you don't have it right. You're missing it here. You need to have those people and give them permission. And one last thing, we will pray, and I think dinner's on the table, or brunch is on the table out there. One last thing. Anytime someone starts talking about God showing them something he's never been able to show to anyone else, run. I mean, when people say that, well, God, you know, and I mean, again, you can buy the books. You can go on Amazon today and you can buy the books of God speaking to someone that he, and they say, you know, and this is so important, but God could never find someone to say this to. Really, in 2,000 years, you know, in Las Vegas, God, or wherever it happens to be, God finally found someone he could share a truth to. Every cult starts that way. Every cult starts that way. So when someone says, oh, God showed me something new, and you know, people... There was a guy that was a youth pastor over in the other side. Now he's a pastor of a church over town. And I was interacting with him as one of my jobs as a leader in the Assemblies of God. And I was sitting down at a meeting with him. And he'd take his youth on an outreach trip to Eastern Washington. This is one of the ones that happened. And he's at the church. He's speaking. And then after he's done, he would ask the sound team. This is how long ago it was. They use audio tapes, you know, like recorded on tapes and then made copies of the tapes so that people could take. And he said he went to the sound guy and he said, you know, I shouldn't have said that. Could you remove that from the tape before it gets sent out? Okay. And I said, well, why would you have them do that? And he said, well, because the church that I'm part of, the elders in that church and the pastor would not be ready for that truth. And I said to him, that's the audacity of arrogance, that you're the youth pastor and that God spoke something to you, but they're not ready for it. And how great that God could finally find you in, you know, wherever it happened to be, I'm just trying to leave it anonymous here, wherever it happened to be, that God finally was lucky enough to find you. I said, that's the epitome of arrogance, that in 2,000 years of church history, God finally, he stumbled upon you. When someone says, I got something new from God, it needs to be checked through the Scriptures. It needs to be checked through church history. It needs to be checked through the nature of God. It needs to be checked through people who know the Scriptures and know the nature of God. And what would you say? Amen. Because otherwise, I mean, Jesus did not give those warnings about the great deception coming if it was not the fact that there could be a great deception. And any one of us could be susceptible to deception. So, man, just live this Christian life with great caution. Lord, I don't know exactly who and how and in what ways you're going to apply this truth to our lives. Lord, I don't want anybody who is part of our church, might be part of our church, might be someone who's listening online, might be someone who listens online regularly or periodically, wherever they happen to be. Lord, I don't want them to somehow be able to point a finger and say, it was him that led me to believe a lie. It was them that led me to believe a lie. It was that church that led me to believe a lie. So help me, like Paul said to Timothy, like Paul said to the church leadership in Ephesus, help me to be faithful with my life and with my words. And then every single one of us in this room, online, who will be online, who will listen on the audio, every single one of us, Father, put a caution in our hearts to be very discerning, very sifting as to the things that are being said, that we're listening to, we're grabbing a hold of. Lord, we don't want to be deceived. We don't want to be deceived. We want to love the truth, like 2 Thessalonians talks about, that we would be lovers of the truth. So work this way in our lives. Thank you for what you're going to do. And Father, open our eyes and our hearts this summer as various teachers teach about Jonah, his life, and his message, and all that you did. Teach us this summer. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.